Hello and welcome, everyone. It is time again to talk sports with everybody. Everyone we know is in this janitor closet with me talking sports. It's tight, but we make it work. This is the Walnut Sports Network Weekly Podcast. My name is Jason. Today we've got lots of friends. Paulie's over here.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
We got Ben over here.
How's it going, everybody?
And we squeezed Brandon in.
I'm happy to be here.
He has the fourth corner of the closet, so closet's full.
Yep, closet's full.
I guarantee you I'm the skinniest one in here, so all right.
Oh, yeah. So this is the fourth month of the 24th year of the 2000th year.
Wow.
15th day.
Correct. Deadly accurate so far, Jason.
Isn't that how the British do it? They do the dates backwards, so they read it like that. Anyway, it's April 15th. It's tax day. It's Jackie Robinson Day. It's been a beautiful spring so far. Let's keep it going. Let's talk some sports with us and everyone. So let's start with another place that gets pretty good weather probably most of the time. I don't know. I've never been. It's Brazil, and the NFL is going there to play football this year, in fact. And they're bringing the Packers and the Philadelphia Eagles with them in a place they apparently can't wear green. Somebody take this away from me. Ben, can you explain this to me?
Yeah. Basically, yep, you're right. The Packers and the Eagles are playing there September 6th, Friday, opening game. I heard about this, that they banned green from the stadium. So the Corinthians have an informal ban of the color green. That's the stadium, the team that plays in the stadium, because their bitter club rivals, the Palmeiras, wear that. So basically, it'd be like the Packers banning orange and blue, for fans wearing Lambeau. But again, will that be lifted prior for this game? Yeah, because the NFL's going to pay them money. They'd be like, just get rid of that stupid color thing and let the boys wear green. That's basically what it is. It's kind of a weird rule. But at first, of course, they said that, and I was like, what are they talking about? But I was like, oh, just stupid media hype. It's not that big of a deal, but playing Brazil is, especially if you're the Eagles, because you lose a home game, which I can't always think is kind of crappy. Opening night, it'll be interesting. The Eagles are a tough team, so I think it'll be a good game. Paulie, what do you think about that all?
I didn't know about the green thing until you had mentioned that, and I agree. I think the NFL is going to make it so, or the spectators are going to be able to wear green, because I don't know how you're going to get around it with both teams' primary colors being green. I think it's a it's a fantastic game to bring overseas, and with it being Friday night of opening weekend, it will be the first game on the NFL schedule. Or no, the Thursday night game.
It'll probably be a Thursday because they got to do every day of the week that first week. I feel like now football every day.
But I think it's going to be a lot of fun. If I had the means, I would definitely be down there for it, but I do not have the means to pull that off. But I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and I think it's going to be a great game to showcase to the South American audience that apparently is growing very rapidly. So, Brandon, what do you think about the NFL going to South America?
Well, with that color band thing, I'm pretty sure Brazil's flag is green, so I don't really understand that at all. That's my first thought.
I guess you can't have any national pride in the stadium either. There's like, sorry, no green. I guess if you were, on the other team, you get fined if you wear green in that stadium. So I read that too, but.
You know, it wouldn't hurt for the Packers to switch it up because their uniform is pretty ugly, in my opinion. So I would appreciate if maybe they didn't wear green.
Well, there you go.
But as far as being Brazil, hope it gets a bunch of new fans and the NFL gets more money than they already have. So
they need it.
They need it.
Yep, they need it.
They need to get them new new fields over here in America, I think. But yeah.
Well, that's fun. Football worldwide. What happens when? So, if
10 days American away from the draft. Football, that's really what we should all end it on, right?
Right. We'll revisit this again in 10 days at the draft. All right, so let's, speaking of balls, there was golf. What was it, Scotty Scheffler winning the Masters while his wife is about to give birth?
Yep. But
apparently he would have just, like, dipped at any point. Like, oh, shoot, yep, I'm gone. Don't matter what round, like, what hole he's on, how far he's ahead. He was, like, ready to leave at any moment, apparently. But it didn't come to that, it seemed.
Did he name the baby Green Jacket Scheffler? Is that what it is now? No? Wah-wah.
What happened?
So they named the baby Green Jacket Scheffler.
Oh, did they really?
For good luck. No, I said, did they? I was asking.
Oh, they should have, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't watch much of the Masters, so I really can't comment on more than that.
Yeah, I'm not really a golf guy. I kind of need Pauly. He's the one who kind of brought it up. Pauly, give us Masters analysis here. Now that Scottie Scheffler is the new champion.
I was, because of work, I was only able to watch on the Saturday and Sunday the last probably 5 holes of each round. But what I did see is that on Sunday there was four Scotty and Morikawa and two others were tied going into the 9th hole. And Scotty stayed steady, and everyone else had a double bogey at some point in the next 3 holes. And Scheffler had a three-hole lead at that point, and you basically knew he wasn't going to give it up once he had that. So it was for a Masters that I usually love watching and is usually back and forth, especially on Sunday. One, like I said, once Scheffler got that lead, you basically knew it was over and there wasn't really a lot of drama on the back nine. So that's essentially what happened there.
All right, so that's another
sounds like golf
tournament in the books. Yeah, it sounds like golf and nothing new happened. Tiger Woods made the cut, but I heard.
Scheffler's won, like, what? I think two Masters now in 3 years or 5 years or something like that?
Two out of the last 3 years he's
won. Yeah, so that's pretty damn good.
So I did want to mention this, that we're on golf. I heard this on the radio coming home from work, but I haven't been able to find anything on it. Apparently, Rory McIlroy, who stood with a sword in his hand defending the PGA over the LIV.
What? He brandished a sword on the course?
Well, he might as well have, with all the comments that he made against LIV. Apparently, he is being offered $850 million to go to LIV, and he is considering it.
Of course he is, because it's always about the money.
Dude, $850 million. Dude, you just... And he's considering it. Like, he'd be an asshole if he took $850 million. Are you kidding me? You show me the dude who's like, I'm not going to, like, take $1 billion if he doesn't already have $1 billion, right? Like, $850 million?
Well, if he does, though, it's that's, like, the ultimate, like, flip-flop of this whole thing. Because he's the poster child.
And I would love that. Because it would just be like, dude... Oh, you can't be bought. Yeah, you can. When it comes to shit like professional sports and like your job, dude, yeah, you can. For $850 million, yeah, you can. It's not like, oh, I went to go work for your competitor for an extra $5 more an hour. Like, oh, no, I went to work for the competitor because now the next six generations of my family are set for life. Like, yeah. That's a complete. I don't know.
It's blood money, though. So I it's pure blood money, though.
I guess with it being Saudi Arabia, that is.
It's pure blood money. I don't care what anyone says. That money doesn't come from anything that's legitimate, probably. So that's the only thing that's what I look at it as. It's $850 million. I get that. That's a no-brainer for most things. But if I have $850 million already, do I need another $850 million and go against all these principles and what I've been fighting about and what that area represents right now? Like, I don't think I would. But it's funny that he's now considering it. That's the funny part of it all. It's like, well, maybe I could do that now.
And again, you know,
that's really weird.
Again, I just heard this on the radio on the way home. I have not been able to find a source for it. So, if that's, I mean, that is the ultimate flip-flop, like you said, Ben.
Yeah, if it happens, it'd be crazy.
And I guess, I mean, it's not like he needs the money, right? He's been playing long enough. He's been one of, if not the best player in the world for a long time, you know.
Yeah. Lots of endorsements. Case,
it's just, you hear $850 million. Like, dude, I know there's no such good as a good billionaire and all those things. And I don't even think those things aren't true. But I guess... It's $850 million that isn't in the hands of a tyrannical ruler, and it's just in the hands of this opportunistic golfer. Maybe that's better.
We'll see, though.
Well, I mean, what do you do with the other $200 billion that Saudi Arabia has, though?
Hey, what are you going to do with it? You know, like, hey, I'm just saying, like, it's better than spending it on $850 million of whatever, you know, sketchy shit they're doing these days. I don't know. True. I don't really follow politics.
Very true.
I mean, if they want to pay us $850 million to stop talking about on this show, I think we might consider that. But right?
that's kind of what I'm saying.
Wait, what? Like... Wait, Jason, you're right. Never mind. So this will be our last show, everyone, and we're now under live rule, and moving on.
Okay, anyway, that's golf. College basketball had some stuff happen. We had it wrap up just last weekend. UConn won, South Carolina won. No real surprises. I mean, the path there had some excitement, but like we kind of ended up right where we thought we'd be. Anybody want to throw down on that? Or are we just kind of back where we thought we'd be?
I mean, I think the way UConn won the tournament, I guess, was a little bit of a surprise to me with their in six games with the 140 point differential, just complete dominance. And then the other thing I would point out is after Purdue flamed out, being the second one seed to lose to a 16 last year, them making the final to me was a little surprising, but Zach Edey looked really good. I don't know what kind of a pro player he's going to be. I have a feeling he's going to be a good to really good backup center somewhere. Any thoughts on either of you or any of you guys? I guess is my only question coming out of that.
I mean, he's projected to be a second round pick in the draft. So, I mean, like, I think you kind of hit it on the head. Like, I don't know if he'll be a starter. It'll just depend on if his game can evolve a little bit more for the NBA. But I don't know. Like, he's one of those guys who just had a stellar, you know, college career. You know, it's like a Tyler Hansbrough or something like that. And then they go to the NBA and it just cannot compute, you know, like it doesn't transfer over. And kind of fizzles out, not be a starter or anything. So I don't know. I think you got it right, Paulie, for what his pro career will probably be.
Yeah, agreed. He's a big, heavy-legged center, kind of a project. One of those dudes like a.
I just feel bad he couldn't get NIL money while he was in the States. That's the worst part of everything.
He couldn't get NIL money?
No, he's from Canada. He plays on a player's visa, meaning in contract you can't make money because you can't do NIL if you're from out of the country. I just found it out like a week before the national championship game. I'm like, out of all people, he can't make money?
That's well, I wonder bullshit. If he could still like do endorsements and stuff.
Maybe, I guess. But to me, that's kind of the same thing as NIL, but I don't know.
Well, I thought that was crap. Like, a lot of that is set up like with the school, like they have.
I know, but it's even crappier. Like, hey, you know what, Zach? You're gonna like be the face of our school for 4 years, but guess what? We're gonna take all the money.
Oh, I guarantee he's still getting paid. It's just like under the table, like the old days, you know.
Yeah,
like the good old days.
The good old days. Hey, take that shoebox home. All right, thanks, sir. I didn't need new shoes, but thanks. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we'll see what Zach Edey does, but he'll be, I think, just kind of your average guy.
Yeah, I agree. The one other thing I wanted to mention is, to absolutely no one's surprise, Caitlin Clark just got drafted number one in the WNBA drafts.
Mm-hmm. What?
Yeah, Brandon had no idea.
I know, it's a shocker.
Brandon should know, he has the same colors as your favorite team, so football team at least, right?
Who is that?
Caitlin Clark.
Yeah. Where'd she go?
Iowa.
Oh.
Black and gold. Yeah. Or yellow or whatever.
Where'd she get drafted to?
Indiana Fever.
Oh. Yeah, I never heard of them.
Yeah, I didn't really know who they were until she got drafted by them. So,
I mean, I thought she should have went and go played with Ice Cube. That's my opinion.
I think she still can.
I believe she can.
I think she can. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
WNBA has a lot of open-ended contracts where you can do other things. So,
well, good.
Yeah, go do
well,
that. Good.
And okay, yeah. Done. Baseball time. Yeah. So what's up with baseball? Otani just, like, careless with his money and wasn't paying attention, I guess?
Well, in a way, I guess.
It seems insane that you just lose $16
million. But... $16 million it's up to right now. So, yeah. Yeah, 2021 it started, and all, yeah, by now it's $16 million. It's gone. So I don't know, like, how, yeah, I don't know how you don't know that's missing or what's going on. And it probably might, it might be more, too. They're still investigating. They're not 100% sure if that's all of it. So, but it's nuts. On ESPN, there's, like, all the texts are out there. Like, basically all the evidence is front and center, so... I don't know what's actually going to happen to this interpreter, but he's going down hard because $16 million you stole over a 3-year span, basically. So, because
the feds are involved in this.
Yeah. I think anything over $10,000, the feds get involved in. So they're heavily involved in this now. So, yeah, I just thought it was very interesting because it's like, what is happening? Like, how can you not know that all this money is missing? And if this didn't come out, how much longer this could have gone on forever?
I can tell you how.
How?
He knew it was happening.
I don't know. He can't speak English, so he might not be able to tell us that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not buying that.
And that's the thing, like, this interpreter, like, what has he been, what's this interpreter really been telling us the last 6 years? Like, has he been saying what Otani's been actually saying? He's a fraud. All the way across. But yeah, he knew.
Yeah, Otani's been just saying terrible, terrible things. They put the microphone up to him, and he's like, I will destroy America and all of you savages. The interpreter's like, he's just proud to be playing for the MLB and for the LA Dodgers.
He's saying in Japanese, like, this motherfucker's stealing money from me. And he's like, this guy loves baseball. He needs more money, actually. Give him more money. That's what happened. They're all in a, you're right, Brandon.
Yeah, I want to know what Otani's business manager is. He had to have been ripping his
hair. Who else is on top of this? Like, guy's making shitloads of money and no one's paying attention to it?
Well, there. This brings me back to my point.
He's in on it.
Gambling is hell of a drug. I love it.
You're probably right. Who knows? We'll find out. Find out sooner or later. Everyone's going to jail.
No, Otani's going to keep playing baseball, and this will get the old news in weeks.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Well, speaking of old, other news that could be old in a few weeks, the Milwaukee Brewers are doing pretty well still in Major League Baseball. So I know we're going to talk about that a little bit. They're in first, right above Brandon's Pittsburgh Pirates when they're on TV. But yeah, they're doing great. Jackson Chirio's having still a great season. Pitching's still there. They lost tonight to the Padres. But yeah, overall, really good start to the season here. And
I feel like that's every year.
I feel you're right. And hey, the Pirates the last couple of years had the same, you know, good start too, and they're having a great start this year as well. So
Oh, yeah, I know all about it.
Yeah, perfect. Kudos. Kudos to them. But yeah, Paulie will be happy. The Cardinals are in last in the Central again. So
yeah,
still continuing that trend. But yeah, but nothing that surprising yet because it's 3 weeks in or whatever. So we'll keep you up to date every week because eventually that's all we'll talk about, which Jason will be super duper happy to do the podcast.
Yeah, only 6 more years of this baseball season to go.
Oh, hey,
we do have the Olympics in Paris this year to break it up a little bit.
Oh, yeah, I guess we got a little bit of something there. Yeah. And the ESPYs, our favorite, you know, sports topic in the summer.
Yeah.
Sorry.
The only night of the year that none of the four beats are active.
Isn't that funny that they picked the one day there's no sports on that you're like, you have to watch this shit show or nothing? And I'm like, hey, guess what? Nothing's won every year, guys. You did it again. I'm never going to watch the ESPYs, and we're never going to talk about it. And scene.
Yeah.
All right. Unless let's go on to the big show. Jason, let's get us started on this.
Let's bring the big guns in here.
Yeah, it's time. UFC 300 happened. And it was awesome. It was fucking awesome. All sorts of good shit. Lots of good fights. Lots of people that people have heard of. Even some people that I have heard of. And that made me very happy. Brandon, let's start with the, as far as the early prelims and the prelims, I know a lot of these guys are ranked, and even, like in the prelims, we had a performance of the night bonus out of that. What was, what are the takeaways here from the prelims? Do we have any guys becoming contenders like Sterling or something where they're maybe looking at a title fight coming up?
Most definitely. I mean, Sterling, he was a bantamweight champion for a while there, and he this was his debut at featherweight, 145, and he looked great. He kind of beat the brakes off of Calvin Kattar, kind of as I suspected. And I think he's going to fight probably one other guy, probably a tougher matchup. And if he wins that, I think you might see him fight for the title for sure. Especially being an ex-champion. But with that being said, that's in the same division as Max Holloway, who had a hell of a performance this weekend. And he's definitely fighting for it first, so.
Yeah, knocks out a guy, you know, bigger than him, who's, you know, up there in the lightweight standings.
Number two.
Yep.
Justin Gaethje's number two, yeah.
Knocks him out with 1 second to go in the fight.
Damn. Yeah, and you gotta
get this ends now. That's it.
Yep. Gaethje broke his nose at the end of the first round. Got poked in both eyes the next round, and still, granted, it ended the way it did, but he's a tough son of a bitch, and you can't really take it away from him. He had everything to lose, nothing to gain, and he still gave this fight to Max, and it was awesome. They each got a bonus. Max got a double bonus, so he got 600K on top of his purse. He made out like a bandit, Max Holloway, that is.
You should have went to live, though. He would have got 850 mil instead of 600K.
Man. Welcome to fighting.
I know.
Fighters don't fight if they get that kind of money. Come on.
True.
Got to keep them humble.
Yeah, it's not boxing like in the old days, or I guess now, too. Any days.
Yeah, and in MMA, the best actually fight the best, so.
Yeah.
But what's crazy about that last-minute knockout in the Max Holloway fight is Max was winning the entire fight, and he gave Justin a 15-second last hoorah that he pointed to the ground and said, let's stand toe-to-toe and just swing and bang. And, well, Max still came up on top, but he gave Justin a chance, even though he didn't have to. So I thought that was pretty neat. But yeah, on the prelims, Jiří Procházka got the performance of the night. You might, you know, he's in that light heavyweight division. He just lost the title, so with knocking out the number five guy, you know, he's kind of still in the mix for potentially a rematch with the current champ. So I keep your eyes on that. And Jiří is a kind of an insane individual, in my opinion, but he is
have to be.
He's like this Czech guy who like plays with samurai swords, and he's like a monk and shit.
That sounds perfect.
And he boxes trees.
Yeah.
Who beats trees?
That guy.
See?
Damn.
And he was a dog in that fight, which I thought was absolutely ridiculous. But yeah. Brazilians kind of just dominated the prelims. everyone they fought, they just handled. Yeah, it was a good prelim show. I'm not gonna lie. You know, you got all ranked fighters mostly in prelims. You, that's not something you see every day.
Yeah, we figured they had to bring it for 300, right?
Yeah,
that's big. And we got some breaking news in the women's WWE or MMA.
Oh no! Oh yeah, no!
Just kidding. Just kidding.
So close. We almost snuck it in, Brandon. Damn it.
Yeah.
Next time, just continue with your thought. No,
no, but we actually have some fucking movement here in the women's area of the sport.
Kayla stepping up.
Well, Kayla Harrison, who's been a stud over in a different promotion, she was coming from PFL. She came over to the UFC and beat a longtime legend, Holly Holm, who was ranked number 5. Mm-hmm. Submitted her in round 2, and I think you're going to see Kayla Harrison being a champion this year, and probably, if I were to guess, have a long reign, unless she gets the lioness Amanda Nunes to come out of retirement.
Come back.
And I think she's the only one who can do it, and I still think Amanda breaks her will, but... that's kind of exciting if that can turn into something. But
crystal ball.
I'm calling you right here, folks.
Right here. You heard it.
And after Kayla actually won her fight, there's a video out there of Amanda Nunes watching with her ear to the TV, waiting for her to call her out, and she doesn't. And she just scoffs at her, and it's kind of entertaining to see. But... yeah, prelims were great. The main card opened up with Bo Nickel versus Cody Brundage. Bo Nickel proved the odds right, you know, coming in at a measly minus 2,100. Who would have thought? Who would have bet against that, you might ask? Me.
I was going to say, it sounds like the guy that's talking.
You never know. You never know. But, yeah, he did exactly what we thought he did. I would like to see him not fight a garbage can. But, you know, we'll see. I think he's going to fight a ranked fighter, and you might even see him fight for a title late this year, early next year. And, boy, the United States needs a champ. Boy, do we need one. So I'm pulling for him.
How long has it been, Brandon?
Well,
who was it? I don't remember.
They switch so often. I'm trying to think if there is even a current one. There is Jones. Imagine
no, John. Okay.
John Jones is always has been and always will be. So.
Well, isn't O'Malley from like California?
Yeah, O'Malley. Yep.
Shout out.
But yeah, it. We haven't seen a prospect this dominant from the American side, just running through people, finish. It's kind of cool to see in his pedigree. No MMA background, came in as a wrestler. So,
damn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, he's a beast.
Wrestled out of Penn State. Well, I think he's a multi-time national champion, fell short to go to the Olympics, but yeah.
Oh, that kind of wrestling. I thought you meant W wrestling.
No. No. Gentlemen, this is a sports show.
Just want to make sure. So when Jason gets powerbombed by somebody at some point and they're like, it's not fake.
Well, I mean, that'll be awesome, but.
Yeah. Oh, don't worry, buddy. It's coming. Just keep your eyes peeled.
We were talking about the lightweight division before with Justin Gaethje, Max Holloway.
Yeah.
Oliveira and Sarukyan. I don't know how to say that.
Sarukyan.
Sarukyan. There you go. That's so easy to say once I'm told how to say it. Excuse me. Sarukyan beats Oliveira, the former champion.
Split decision.
Yeah. Close one. Closer than the odds were, even. And then you have Gaethje losing to Holloway. Does Gaethje's loss hurt him in the lightweight division? Because I know Holloway is typically flyweight, I think.
I'm sorry?
Featherweight, sorry.
Say that again?
Does Gaethje losing to Holloway and then Oliveira losing, he's probably going to slip and Sarukyan's going to move up. Does Gaethje slip in the rankings losing to a featherweight for the BMF belt?
It's a good question. The rankings are always kind of like a toss-up. You never really know, but I would think he might hold his ranking at number two in the lightweight, but it does hurt his stock losing to Max Holloway, especially in the fashion he did. You probably won't see Gaethje fighting for a while. Maybe the end of the year. Maybe. But let's see here. You have Dustin Poirier. They just announced is fighting for the title. Super stoked for him. Hope he gets that done. I would love to see him get a belt. But if you want my take, I think you're either going to see the future for Justin. He's probably going to fight Armand now, I would think.
Because, I mean,
you're not going to give Armand a title shot over a split decision over Charles. So I think you're either going to see Justin fight Charles or Justin fight Armand. And I feel like he's more so going to fight Armin because he's sitting at number two. Dustin's in queue for the title. So we'll see. But I'm not a matchmaker, but that's kind of what I would think makes sense. I'm not sure who's sitting at number three right now, to be honest.
I think it's Poirier.
Poirier? Okay.
Yeah. Let me just check here. Number three lightweight is Dustin Poirier. Yep, it's Oliveira, Gaethje, Poirier, and then Sarukyan. Although that will probably change given the events of last weekend.
Yeah, and you know when I said that Justin had everything to lose taking this fight, nothing to gain, he was probably in line for a title shot. And now I think that's not going to happen because Justin was on a tear before this. He was beating some young up-and-coming guys, and yeah, he was on a tear. So he head kicked Dustin Poirier out in the first round or second round to get the BMF title. So it's kind of funny that now Poirier is fighting for the title and not Justin. It's welcome to the fight game. Things change so rapidly, you know, unlike golf, you know, but yeah, it'll be interesting. The lightweight division is always a shuffle and you got some really good guys up there. And, speaking of the lightweight division, Conor McGregor is making his return this June 2 on International Fight Week against Michael Chandler after his devastating leg break 2 years ago, I think. So that'll be interesting to see. I'm pulling for him personally. He's got a lot of haters, but I would love to see him get it done after an injury like that. So
yeah, you know, I always try to take these things like Conor McGregor, I think, is a horse's ass, right? But it's only the Conor McGregor that I get to see that he puts out there. I don't know what he's really like. He might be far worse than I think he is. I have no idea. but like the person, I think he's like, I'm supposed to not like him, right? Like that's his thing. Like he's out the there. Villain. Yeah, he's throwing chairs at buses and shit. Like, and I'm like, what an ass. And he's like, yeah, I'm an ass. That's the point.
The only thing when it comes to Connor is it is partly a show, but he's also just a confident, arrogant Irishman at the end of the day.
Go have a proper 12, Jason. You'll know exactly how Conor McGregor is.
But I will say I think he's probably a better human being than he gets credit for. If you ever want a little different side of him, I would recommend watching his, I think it's a 3-episode documentary on Netflix. Not a bad watch, but kind of shows his backstory a little bit and whatever not. So,
right, you know, maybe once he's retired while he's fighting, I'd rather think of him as shit. You know, it's more fun for me that way.
Join the masses. But as far as UFC 300 goes, after Justin Gaethje fight, we went up to the Zhang Weili fight. We can skip right over that.
I thought it was a good fight.
It was a fun fight.
Jan was kind of giving her
the business the first couple rounds, survived, but after that, championship status set in, and Zhang Weili just went to work, outstruck her 256-73. Kind of just an absolute beatdown. So.
Yeah, I was fun to watch. I don't know, and I loved at the end where they're just like, "Hey, what do you want to say?" And she's like, "Well, we in China, we love you, Americans. Come visit China." And I'm like, "Oh man, that's a tough sell right there." I don't.
You know, being from China, she can't say what's on her mind. So,
right.
No, because she has to go home at some point. And...
Yes. She goes, "Oh, yes, China loves you guys. Yeah, come over." Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't buy it, but maybe I'll visit. I'll visit.
It's like Shohei. He knows.
He's Japanese.
Asian, I'm saying. They're all Asian people, though. Asian descent.
True. True. Anyway, so yeah, I mean, that was fun to watch, but it was a beatdown. And like Weili, that was like her fourth or fifth title defense or something like that.
She's now the second most in that division for title defenses at 5. She's right behind Joanna Jacek at 6. So, but yeah, it's like, so... who are you gonna give her? Who are you going to give her? Because guess what's going to happen? It's going to be the same thing. An absolute beatdown. This is women MMA where the champion is the champ. And they're kind of tough to beat typically. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But I think you're going to see her champ for a few more title defenses, in my opinion. So
yeah. Well, that led into another title bout. The title bout, the main event.
Yep.
Light heavyweight title bout. Alex Pereira. I know it's pronounced a little different than that, but made Jamahal Hill look like he needed to hit the gym a little bit.
Yeah. Jamahal coming off of a...
He didn't look like he was like in shape for the fight. He didn't look like it.
There's things coming out. He broke his toe in camp and yada yada. He's coming off of I think it's an ACL or MCL, only 9 months after. Kind of soon, in my opinion. I don't think he was in the best shape he claimed he was. Sure, now didn't look like it. But I think what's going through is that he got the opportunity, and are you going to turn down to be a main event on UFC 300? Probably not.
No, of course
probably not. But also with that being said, Alex Pereira hits like a Mack truck.
Oh, dude, that guy is in a... His just his demeanor, like the right before he got the knockout, like he's just like walking up to the guy like stone faced, and he gets kicked like kind of questionably low. It looked like it was like kind of in the hip a little bit, and the ref kind of goes up to him, and the dude without even like breaking his eye lock on the other dude just kind of waves off the ref, and then just bam, just like drops him. It was just the most ice cold thing I'd seen in, I don't know, that might and be the most ice cold thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. And then he had the balls to celebrate over his knocked out body. Yeah. But you know, Jamal Hill kind of asked for it, you know, prior to the fight he was acting like a big fan, asking for Alex's autograph, this and that, and then at the weigh-ins he kind of disrespected him, and Alex said, okay, you don't understand, buddy. And Alex didn't even hit him with a clean, it was clean, it landed, but it wasn't like a full contact hit, it was kind of chipped off his chin, and he just eyes back in his head.
Mm-hmm.
Good night. Good night. I think Alex is a force to be reckoned with at that division, and good luck to anyone who faces him. And he said he kind of wants to move up to heavyweight and get that heavyweight strap too, which would be insane. This guy has only had 9 fights in the UFC, and he's a 2-time champion in 2 different weight classes, and it's crazy. It's crazy. He's a monster.
Keep it going. That'd be crazy. Holy shit.
Yeah. I don't think that'll happen, but he's going to probably fight, I don't know, lightweight divisions, kind of a weird thing right now.
Yuri gets a fight?
Yeah, maybe, you know, but Geary just lost to Alex, so it's like, and he got knocked out by Alex, so it's like, do you really, if you're the UFC, do you want to make that fight again? Not a whole lot. It's not going to sell very much, in my opinion. Yeah,
I guess, like, what is it, Rakic losing kind of screwed that up, because, I mean, if Rakic wins that fight, you could put him against Pereira and be like, okay, sure.
Trying to think what the rankings are at light heavyweight, but it's kind of a
Jamal Hill was the number one contender, then it was Yuri.
Okay.
Well, there's Magomed
Ankalaev. Yeah, he's a snooze fest. He ain't getting it.
Jan Blaszewicz.
He got beat by Alex.
And then it's Rakic, and then Krylov. Nikita Krylov. Well,
Krylov ain't getting it either. So.
Johnny Walker.
No, yeah. None of them are getting it, buddy. So it's kind of like, what the fuck do you do?
Maybe
with
that's
guy?
Why he wants to go up to heavyweight, because he's like, there ain't nobody to fight down here.
You might as well, in my opinion. It's the heavyweight division's also kind of stagnant, because you got John injured with the belt. But you have Tom Aspinall with the interim belt, so it's like Tom's waiting for a fight. He's not fighting John Jones anytime soon, I promise. So why not? Why not?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that pretty much wraps it up.
Yeah, that was a good one. That was a fun event. Lots of fireworks.
Historic. Yeah. The Max Holloway fight is probably going to go down and probably be a Hall of Fame fight one day. So,
yeah, I mean, just the knockout with 1 second left to go in the fight.
Yeah. Ugh. Yep.
Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, Brandon, as you can recall, has that ever happened before?
Oh, yeah. It's a good question. I don't know if it's happened in a last 2 seconds of a 5-round fight like that. I don't know. Probably, if I were to guess, but I've seen it happen in last seconds of rounds.
Yeah, but the last round though, that's the.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question. Probably not. Probably not. I'm not sure off the top of my head. But the greatest comeback I've ever seen was Kamaru Usman versus Leon Edwards. And that was in the last 30 seconds. So, in a championship fight. That's the closest memory I have.
Okay.
Which is that I watched that fight live, the Leon Edwards fight, and goosebumps all over my body. It was insane. If you ever find it on YouTube, watch it.
Yeah, do it. I've been watching UFC videos on YouTube, and it's fun as hell.
Yep. Welcome. We need fans. We need fans. Not the NFL. Not the fucking NFL. Come on over.
Is that like the famous Hagler-Hearns first round?
I'm not familiar with that one.
Was it the old boxers?
Yes, it was. They basically, from the word go, just destroyed each other in the first round. It's if that's one you should, if you haven't seen, you should watch. That's an incredible first round of boxing.
All right. Well, that's.
I think we did it.
Yeah, I think we did it. That's a lot of sports, guys.
Yes.
And that's been a beautiful day. It's been a beautiful hour of talking sports with you and us. Thank you, Brandon, for coming on. Talking about UFC. Thank you, gentlemen, for talking sports. Paulie, you got something to say?
Yes, before we sign off, I just wanted to mention that the Stuffle / Reckling family, which Reckling is my sister's husband's last name, they just welcomed their second child into the world on Friday. Little Quinn was born Friday night. So.
Congrats.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Yep.
Let's fucking go.
Give me all your money, Uncle. Take me and do shit, Uncle.
What's the over under on a third? What's the over under on a third?
They do not want a third one at the moment, but you never know with these things. So.
Okay, so we're what? So a third? We're
a
talking
chance.
Like +250, +300.
Probably +500.
Ooh, okay.
Probably like a Bo Nickel kind of situation.
Yeah, it's -2100 on the under.
Is Brandon doing it again?
Well, I got my God phone next to me. I'll call upstairs and
so
I'm pulling for him. I'm pulling for pulling for the dog.
Nice.
Just smash the over, man. Smash the over.
Yeah. Quite literally. Quite literally smash.
Oh no.
All right.
On that note, thank you everybody for tuning in. It's been wonderful talking sports with all of you. We love you very much and have a good night, everybody.
Yes. Everyone, have a great night. Hopefully you paid your taxes. So.
Yeah, have a great night, everybody. Take care, everybody.
West Side Mopos.
Or don't pay your taxes.
Oh, yeah. Or don't. They'll never find you. Peace.